Will the Senate please come to order? Will the members please vote to signify their presence?
The roll shows 20 members present this morning, Mr. President.
Please stand for the invocation by Pastor Herb McMurtry of the Holy Trinity Episcopal Church.
Let us pray. Almighty God, we give you thanks for all persons who have been elected or appointed to positions of leadership in the government of this state. Bless especially, we pray, each member of the Senate. In times of unreasonable expectations, difficult decisions, and no clear path, grant them the guidance of your Holy Spirit. In times of favor, give them humility. In times of trial, give them courage. Grant to the people of this state a sense of gratitude for those willing to serve here, and may a spirit of cooperation guide our deliberations this day. Amen.
Let's see. Senator Miller, would you lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Senator Lincoln.
Mr. President, I would like to ask unanimous consent that the prayer be spread across the journal.
Without objection, the prayer will be spread on the journal. Will the Secretary please certify the journal?
I wish to certify as the correctness of the journal to the 64th legislative day.
Senator Taylor.
Move and ask unanimous consent. The journal be approved as certified by the Senate Secretary.
Without objection, the journal will be approved as certified. That brings us to introduction of guests. Senator Miller.
Thank you, Mr. President. There is somebody in the Ziegler Gallery that I've known for quite a while, and actually he wears a couple of hats. One of the hats he wears is that when he's not doing his full-time job, he's on the North Pole City Council. And the other hat that he wears, he's down, I guess you've all had, I haven't had it done yet, but a little stress test down here. He's the Executive Director for the Interior Regent Medical Service Council. Please welcome Craig Lewis.
Senator Taylor.
And seated next to him in the Ziegler Gallery is a constituent of mine from Sitka, and she heads up the EMS unit over there, and that's Sean Newell.
Senator Little.
Thank you, Mr. President. In the Ziegler Gallery, there are two distinguished guests, one from my district and the other from outside. One is Steve O'Connor from the Central Peninsula EMS and Ronnie Sullivan from the Southern Region EMS.
If there are no further introduction of guests, Senator Taylor.
Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent. We stand in recess for a majority caucus.
Senator Dunn.
May we ask...
I'm glad you're establishing the record of objecting to caucuses.
No, I just not objected to your caucus. You should do that. I just was wondering if we could be notified how long it's going to be. Actually, the minority is having a hard time deciding when we should appear on the floor. The session starts supposed to start at 11. We convene at 11:20. We sit here and then... caucuses, just to help us out. We got lots of work to do in our offices.
Well, at one point we were thinking of just putting a minority caucus on the calendar, but
we can do that. That would be appreciated also. Or we can just send one here and be sure that nothing happens to everybody.
I expect it will be a half an hour, Senator.
Half hour? Yeah. Okay. Fine. We'll just go relax, enjoy yourself, eat your lunch.
Without objection, the Senate will stand in recess for half an hour. Will the Senate please come back to order? I believe we're under messages from the governor.
There are no messages from the governor today.
Messages from the House.
Message dated March 15th. Mr. President, the House has passed Senate Joint Resolution Number 27 relating to United States Coast Guard commercial fishing vessel safety regulations. And as returned, this resolution has been referred for enrollment. This is dated March, can't be right. 16th, dear Mr. President, in accordance with AS 2461 through DA3, the House ratified the following public members of the Subcommittee on Legislative Ethics, Kay Close. The House failed to ratify J. Allen Patterson. Message dated March 15th, dear Mr. President, the House has passed and transmitted for consideration House Joint Resolution Number 18 by Representative Moses relating to establishment of a fishing community at ADAC.
Resources.
CS for House Bill 62 Jude by the Judiciary Committee, an act prohibiting employers from discriminating against individuals who use legal products in legal manner outside of work.
Labor and Commerce, State Affairs, and Judiciary.
CS for House Bill 64 Finance by the Finance Committee, an act creating the crimes of stalking in the first and second degrees and providing penalties for their violation, providing a peace officer with the authority to arrest without a warrant a person the peace officer has reasonable cause to believe has committed stalking, relating to the release before trial of a person accused of stalking, prohibiting the suspension of imposition of a sentence of a person convicted of stalking, relating to the crime of assault in third degree and providing for an effective date.
Judiciary and Finance.
Those are all the messages from the House.
Communications.
Following report has been received. Office of the Ombudsman annual report from Duncan C. Fowler Ombudsman. This report has been distributed to each senator, and those are all the communications.
Report sustaining committees.
Dear Mr. President, the Senate Resources has reviewed the following with regard to confirmation of the governor's appointments for the game, Jack Dickerson. There were no stated objections to the confirmation of the named individual by committee members. This does not reflect an intent by any of the members to vote for or against the individual during any further sessions. Respectfully, Senator Miller, Senator Lehman, Vice Chair, Senator Frank, Adam Jara, Pearson Donnelly. Test committee considered SR2, urging the Environmental Protection Agency to suspend the auctionated fuels program in Anchorage. Recommends it be replaced with the committee substitute. And do pass. Report signed by Senator Rieger, Chair. Concurring, Senators Miller, Duncan, Lehman, Salo, Ellison, Sharp. Zero fiscal and attached. SR2 has a further referral to the Judiciary Committee. State Affairs Committee considered Senate Bill Number 1. Retirement incentive programs recommends it be replaced with a committee substitute and reports it back as follows. Senator Lehman, Chair, and Senator Miller sign no recommendation. Senators Duncan and Ellis sign due pass to fiscal notes. Senate Bill Number 1 has a further referral to the Judiciary Committee. Hess Committee considered Senate Bill Number 101, eligibility for and payments of public assistance, effective date. Majority committee recommends it be replaced with committee substitute and due pass. Report was signed by Senator Rieger, Chair. Concurring Senators Miller, Duncan, Lehman, and Sharp. Senators Ellis and Salo sign do not pass. Zero fiscal note. Senate Bill Number 101 has a further referral to the Judiciary Committee.
Senator Duncan.
Maybe we have an adjournment.
Will the Senate please come back to order? Senator Duncan.
Mr. President, could I ask that the committee report on Senate Bill 101 be reread, please?
Without objection, would the Secretary please reread the Committee on Report as amended by Senator Duncan? Senator Taylor, did you wish to move on, that was the ethics people?
Oh, yes, thank you, Mr. President. I'd move at this time that the body take up the appointment and confirmation of Kay Close to the Select Committee on Legislative Ethics.
I think the motion is to confirm, is it not?
I said take up, I guess, yes, to confirm.
The question is, shall Kay Close be confirmed as a public member of the Select Committee on Legislative Ethics? If there's no debate, the members proceed to vote. Have all members voted? Does any member wish to change their vote? Would the secretary please lock the roll and record the vote? And so Kay Close has failed to be confirmed as a public member of the Select Committee on Legislative Ethics. I guess, Senator Taylor, the other member was defeated on the House side, so there's no...
That's correct. I wasn't intending to move Mr. Patterson because he was not only defeated over there, but I don't believe his defeat was given reconsideration. So as a consequence, it's not possible for him to be considered at this time.
Thank you, Senator Taylor. Senator Duncan?
I'll give notice of reconsideration on Kay Close.
Senator Duncan has served notice of reconsideration on Kay Close. Let's see, are we still under reports of standing committees? We still have further reports?
Those are all the standing committee reports.
Okay. That brings us to introduction of Senate resolutions.
There are no resolutions.
Introduction of Senate bills.
Senate Bill number 164 by the Community Regional Affairs Committee, an act relating to municipal incorporation, reclassification, and dissolution.
CNRA and Judiciary.
Senate Bill number 165 by the Finance Committee, an act making an appropriation to the Alyeska Settlement Fund and making appropriations from the Alyeska Settlement Fund and providing for an effective date.
Resources, Finance.
Senate Bill number 166 by the Judiciary Committee, an act relating to registration of a motor vehicle and issuance, renewal, reinstatement, and revocation of a driver's license for failure to appear in court or failure to pay a fine.
Transportation, Judiciary, and Finance.
Those are all the bills for introduction this morning, Mr. President.
That brings us to consideration of the daily calendar.
Senate Bill number 105 by Senator Taylor, an act relating to motor vehicle dealers and to agents for motor vehicle buyers and providing for an effective date. Labor and Commerce Committee considered bill reports staff as follows. Senator Kelly, Chair, signed and passed. Senators Pierce, Rieger, Salem, and Lincoln signed no recommendation. Judiciary Committee considered the bill, recommends it be replaced. The committee substitute reports it back as follows. Senator Taylor, Chair, and Senator Jackal signed, do pass. Senators Little and Donnelly signed no recommendation. Is there a fiscal note? Rules Committee considered the bill, recommends calendar. Report was signed by Senator Jackal, Chair, concurring Senators Halford and Rieger. There is a Judiciary Committee substitute.
Senator Taylor.
Move to ask unanimous consent. Judiciary Committee substitute for Senate Bill 105.
The Judiciary CS has been moved. There is objection. Senator Duncan.
I would like, yes.
If I could, if you look, Senator, at page 1, lines 5, the provision was added, that first sentence, a person who does business as a dealer in the state may not offer to sell, etc. That first section was added. It's new language. Also, on page 3, beginning again at line 5, A buyer's agent shall arrange for. That section entitled 4545455 was also added. Those are the only two changes that occurred within the Judiciary Committee from the original bill.
Mr. President.
Senator Duncan.
I actually support this legislation. It's kind of strange. This is a bill I sponsored a couple years ago also. I don't know what's happening here. The majority leader keeps doing this to me. And then we get them defeated on the floor. There's more of a change on page 1 than just what the majority leader mentioned, however, because the first 3 or 4 sentences on page 1, lines 5 through 7, also appear in the original bill. And there's a new subsection B, which was not in the original bill. Maybe I can have a further explanation in more detail, if I could, please, of what exactly that does.
Senator Taylor, in more detail.
Well, I'm trying to find my notes here also. I thought that I had, that we had already covered that, but I see the distinction. The addition was of Section A. Section B, what actually happened there was literally a cleanup of language, and that's all. There's nothing different. Manufactured under the warranty. I think you'll find Section A is added, and therefore the old section became Section B. That's the only difference that I see.
Senator Duncan has removed his objection. Is there further objection to the adoption of the Judiciary Committee substitute? The Judiciary Committee substitute is then adopted without objection.
CS presented Bill number 105, Jude, an act relating to motor vehicle dealers and to agents for motor vehicle buyers and providing for an effective date. I have no amendments.
Senator Taylor.
Yeah, briefly, the purpose of bringing this bill forward is that this last year, in early January, about 90 people in Southeast Alaska, both here in Juneau.
Senator Duncan.
I think we should be having an advancement motion.
Sorry, we should. Move and ask unanimous consent. The committee substitute for Senate Bill 105, Judiciary, be considered engrossed, advanced second reading, placed on final passage.
Object. Second to third reading. Object.
Senator Adams, speaking to your objection.
Yes, to my objection, the bill that we just passed, the Judiciary piece of legislation, is opposed at this particular time by the Bush people, because on page 1, lines number 13, the bill says that a dealer has to perform or arrange for compliance with the warranty within a reasonable distance of the dealer's place of business. This would create a problem both for the dealers located in Anchorage, is that would sell a car to somebody in Kotzebue, or someone in Kotzebue who would like to set up a car dealership. The question here is, what is reasonable distance from the dealer's place of business? Is Anchorage a reasonable distance from Anchorage to Kotzebue or Anchorage to Barrow? If it is not, then this bill needs a provision to provide a rebate on a warranty or a financial arrangement between the buyer and the dealer. I don't see that in this piece of legislation that is before us. That is problem number one. Number two, this has to do with penalties on page number 2, lines 21 through 25. The old language of a penalty says that under a Class B misdemeanor, and we eliminated the words, and upon conviction is punishable by a fine of no more than 300. The elimination of that, those words, means that a Class B misdemeanor, as it stands now, would be a fine of $1,000, if the Judiciary Committee would correct me on that. Then, if a person in Kotzebue had a warranty problem with this new vehicle that was sold from Anchorage, has to ship that from Kotzebue to Anchorage and return, it's $2,000 one way. The total cost of transporting that cost is $4,000. I, as a dealer, would rather pay the penalty of $1,000. I have a problem with that particular area. Maybe I need some clarification on that. The last place that I need, and we need to look on page number 3, happens to be with commission. You can see it on line number 22. We see certain compensation prohibit the commission there. Then we go back up to lines number 12, 13, 14, and we look at the same thing. I want to know how that is different from the language between those two that pertains to the percentage of the motor vehicle purchase price. The language on line 22, which relates to to a commission situation between a buyer's agent and the buyer. Yet the language on lines 12 through 14 appears to prohibit fees based on a percentage. Isn't a commission a percentage, a method of payment based on the percentage of a sale price? What my question is, how is a term commission different from that situation in lines 12 through 14 versus the one in lines 22? And until we get some answers on this, Mr. President, is we are going to hold this bill in from advancing at this time.
The question before the Senate is, shall committee substitute for Senate Bill 105 Judiciary be considered engrossed, advance the third reading, and placed on final passage? Senator Curtula.
Thank you, Mr. President. I presume that an advancement we've been allowing because of the nature of the system, discussion of the bill. My only question,
Senator Curtula,
it would be as though it be in final reading. I'm asking a question though we're in third reading, Mr. President. But I just, my only question is, I don't see anything particularly onerous about the bill. But isn't it a dealer's bill now? I mean, isn't it since situation now that with the passage of this legislation, you're going to have to be a certified dealer. You won't be able to sell new cars as new cars if you're not actually, don't have a dealership within the state. So it's kind of a dealer's deal, right? Not quite a subsidy, except for the fact that they're the only ones who can sell their particular agency. I've been in the business, so I'm curious about this. Was in the business for 10 years.
Senator Taylor?
Yeah, I didn't mean not to answer. I was still writing notes here. First off, first question was, what is a reasonable distance? That's currently provided for in existing law as concerns dealers, and what they do to get around that, the difficulty of Alaska's geography, is they set up contracts and agreements with people that they're willing to have do their warranty work in various communities. And if they don't have someone there and a warranty claim comes up, they will inquire around the community. I know I've seen them do it in my little town several times, and I know they do it up north. And they find a competent repairman to try and do the best job of warranty repair that they can have done in the community, short of shipping, because as the good member from Kotzebue clearly pointed out, it's a very, very expensive process to try and move the entire vehicle back to a place where the dealer could work on it. The same is contemplated here, and the language is the same. So as a consequence, it's assumed that these people are going to have to make some provision so that warranty work can be accomplished. The second thing was the penalties. Today, they would pay a penalty of $300. If we pass this legislation, the penalty to the dealer would go up to $1,000. And I realize that that's not as much as the shipping cost is concerned, but it's a threefold increase in the penalty provisions and should act as a deterrent to anyone in the business who fails to do the type of work they should be doing under their warranty contract. As concerns the question of how this differs from a standard commission, the commission, I believe, is not contemplated on the entire sales price of the vehicle, but often on a unit price or on the price of the profit that would be made over and above it. I can't explain that. I've never been in the business, and I'll have to find some additional information on that one for the senator. The last question to the senator behind me, is this in fact a dealer's bill? No, I don't think it is. In fact, I think what it is, it's a bill to protect the public from fly-by-night brokers who may wish to fraudulently misuse the public. If anything, though it is sponsored by myself at this time, it has been sponsored by other members of the body in the past, and I think it was sponsored for the sole purpose of providing some protection to the public from these folks, as opposed to providing any additional leverage for dealers. In fact, the person who wishes to be an independent agent can still do so. He merely needs to post the same bond that he would have had to in the past, but But he does have to meet certain restrictions at this point, which does protect the public. So I don't see it as a dealer's deal.
Senator Frank.
Thank you. Could you explain how a legitimate broker could still operate under the law and what a legitimate broker would have to do to do that?
Yes, I'd be happy to.
Senator Taylor.
The legitimate broker would have to register. Once he had registered, he would also have to post a $10,000 bond. After having done so, he would then have to comply with each of these provisions that make certain that the purchaser, that first off, their assets are protected by his establishing a bank account, and then the manner that the money has to flow in and out of that account. That also brings about, should he fail to do that, that brings about some additional criminal penalties that aren't available today, because it establishes the fiduciary relationship and the trust relationship that he has with his client. That's fairly important as far as enforcement is concerned. And he is not allowed to own an interest in the motor vehicle that is the subject of the purchase that he is negotiating. In other words, there are several different provisions within here which provide additional protection and, registration. I guess that's about it, mostly. Registration and providing these additional protections will still allow him to function. But he's going to have to function under specific guidelines as provided in here. He's not going to be free to go out and do it with no constraints at all.
Senator Frank.
There, I don't know if there are legitimate brokers in the state or not. I'm wondering if there are and what their position on the bill is.
I'm glad you asked that because, yes, there are. Many of them, in fact, involved in this business in the state, and they all support this. In fact, they've participated in the drafting. I have two that operate just in the community of Ketchikan, and both of them have been involved in the drafting and think it really helps clean up the business that they're involved in to prevent the interloper from coming in and just scamming people. So they're very supportive of it.
Further debate on the motion to advance? The motion before the Senate is, shall committee substitute for Senate Bill 105 Judiciary be considered engrossed, advance to third reading and place in final passage? If there's no further debate, the members may proceed to vote. Have all members voted? Does any member wish to change their vote? Will the secretary please lock the roll and record the vote? And so committee substitute for Senate Bill 105 Judiciary has failed to be advanced from second to third reading by a vote of 11 yeas and 9 nays. It will appear on the next calendar in third reading.
House Joint Resolution Number 21 by the Judiciary Committee, honoring Thurgood Marshall, 1908 to 1993. Judiciary Committee considered the resolution. Majority of the committee recommends do pass. The report was signed by Senator Taylor, Chair, concurring Senators Dahlman, Little, and Jaffo. Previous House Zero Fiscal Note. Rules Committee recommends calendar. Report was signed by Senator Jaffo, Chair, concurring Senators Halford and Rigger. I have no amendments.
Senator Kelly. Question through the Chair, Mr. President. Is this resolution available for cross-sponsorship?
Yes, it is.
I would move and ask unanimous consent I be shown as a cross-sponsor on this resolution.
Myself, likewise, and it's going to be... Kurtula, Miller, Sharp, Salo, Taylor, Rieger, Pierce, Frank, Duncan, Jaroff, Donnelly, Lincoln, Little, Ellis. All with the same motion for cross-sponsorship. Senator Taylor, would you move advancement of House Joint Resolution 21?
Move and ask unanimous consent. Committee substitute for House Joint Resolution Number 21, Judiciary, be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Without objection, committee substitute for House Joint Resolution 21 Judiciary is engrossed. Advance the third reading and place in final passage. Is there debate? No, go ahead.
CS for House Joint Resolution Number 21 Jude, honoring Thurgood Marshall, 1908 to 1993.
If there's no debate, the question before the Senate is final passage, a committee substitute, House Joint Resolution 21 Judiciary in third reading. Members may proceed to vote. Have all members voted? Does any member wish to change their vote? Will the secretary please lock the roll and record the vote? And so, committee substitute for House Joint Resolution 21 Judiciary has passed the Senate in third reading by a vote of 20 yeas and 0 nays. Would the secretary please read the next item on today's calendar?
Citations. In memoriam, the crew of the fishing vessel Massacre Bay, Senator Jaroff, Duncan Pierce, Donnelly, Lincoln. In memoriam, Kurt and Daniel LaDarue, Senator Jaroff, Duncan Pierce, Lehman, Donnelly, Ellis, and Lincoln.
I move and ask unanimous consent the citation calendar be approved.
Without objection, the citations appearing on today's calendar are approved by the Senate. Senator Taylor.
Move and ask unanimous consent committee substitute for Senate Bill Number 69, Judiciary and the reconsideration thereof, be moved back to the Rules Committee.
I think the proper method of making that motion is to take up the reconsideration and then move the bill back.
I'd give notice of taking up reconsideration committee substitute Senate Bill Number. I take up committee substitute for Senate Bill Number 69, Judiciary.
Okay. Committee substitute Senate Bill 69. Judiciary is before the body on reconsideration.
Okay, at Senator this time, Taylor. I would move the committee substitute Senate Bill 69, Judiciary amended, be returned to the Rules Committee.
Senator Adams.
Is it the reason we're bringing it back to the Rules Committee is we'll be working with the House bill that is coming over?
That's correct, Senator Adams.
Without objection, committee substitute Senate Bill 69, Judiciary is returned to the Rules Committee. I believe we're under unfinished business. Under Senator Little.
Thank you, Mr. President. Under unfinished business, I move and ask unanimous consent to be shown as a cross bouncer on HCR 7, a resolution relating to alcohol-related birth defects awareness week.
Without objection, Senator Little will be shown as a cross sponsor on HCR 7. Senator Lincoln.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I also move and ask unanimous consent to be a co-sponsor on SJR 27, which is a bill relating to the U.S. Coast Guard commercial fishing vessel safety regulations.
Without objection, Senator Lincoln will be added as a co-sponsor on SJR 27. Senator Lehman.
Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent that I be shown as a cross-sponsor on House Bill 64, the anti-stalking bill.
Without objection, Senator Lehman will be shown as a cross sponsor on House Bill 64. Senator Ellis.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move and ask unanimous consent that I be shown as a cross sponsor on the same legislation.
Without objection, Senator Ellis will be shown as a cross sponsor on House Bill 64 as well. Senator Donnelly.
Same request, Mr. President.
Senator Donnelly and Senator Little also wish to be shown as cross sponsors on House Bill 64. And Senator Salo with the same motion. Further unfinished business. Under unfinished business at this time, I'm going to appoint Senator Robin Taylor to the Pacific Northwest Economic Region. Could we also have an at ease, Senator Taylor?
Mr. President?
Do you need to do something right now? Stand at ease. Will the Senate please come back to order?
Mr. President?
We're under unfinished business. Senator Taylor.
Move and ask unanimous consent that the Committee on Committees report dated March 9, 1993, distributed to all members on their desk, be adopted.
There is objection to the adoption of the Committee on Committees report. Senator Duncan.
Mr. President, first of all, I think probably on any committee assignment or any committee report should be a roll call vote. I think we should set that as a precedent. It should always be a roll call vote. I would just like to state though the purpose of my objection remains the same as our objection to the Committee on Committee Report that was adopted the first day of the legislative session and the subsequent presentation of this Committee on Committee Report. We don't necessarily have any difficulties with the changes that are here, but we still protest very strongly the violation of Rule 1E on committee assignments, and this Committee on Committee Report could have corrected that, should have corrected that. 1E has been violated. We have not had proportional representation on the major committee in this body, that of the Finance Committee, and the minority still believes that the rules should have been followed and upheld, and therefore we object to this Committee on Committee Report.
Don't say anything. Forget it.
Senator Kelly.
Mr. President, the third item on this is a Transportation Committee change requested from the majority by the minority, replacing Senator Curtula on transportation with Senator Little. Now, if the minority doesn't want to do that, then I'll agree with them, and I'll vote against it, too.
Senator Salo.
Thank you, Mr. President. I also object to the Committee on Committee Report here, not only because we still have not dealt with the problem of not following the uniform rules, and 1E in particular, but also because the senator who spoke just before me, it mentions that there's a Transportation Committee change there. I don't think that change on the Transportation Committee should have taken over 60 days to take effect. I think at the time that we debated very strongly the Committee on Committee Reports, the original one, there were several other very reasonable switches and requests that were made by the minority. Those requests were made based on people's personal interests and expertise in serving on committees, and they were summarily ignored. So I object to this report. It deals with one of the issues that we brought before you 60 days late, and it ignores Uniform Rule 1E and several other requests from the minority. Thank you.
I would point out to the members that transportation change was offered to the minority something more than a month ago and wasn't accepted at that time. Is there further debate on the adoption of the Committee on Committees report?
Mr. President, that's an interesting statement offered to us more than a month ago and was not accepted. We are not in a position of calling a Committee on Committee meeting. The Committee on Committees meeting is called by the chairman of the committee, the presiding officer. I don't know what that all means. We were offered but did not accept. We were willing to accept that change on the first day of the session, along with a lot of other changes, of course. I just want to set the record straight.
Further debate on the adoption of the Committee on Committees report. If there's no further debate, members may proceed to vote. Have all members voted? Does any member wish to change their vote? Would the secretary please lock the roll and record the vote? So the Committee on Committees report amended has failed to be adopted by a vote of 9 yeas and 11 nays. At this time, I will announce a Committee on Committees meeting following the adjournment of this session. The adjournment today of the session. Further unfinished business? Senator Duncan?
Yes, if I might inquire of the presiding officer, just a point of information, please.
Senator Duncan?
Yes. Mr. President, I was wondering if you might be able to report to the body, because I know we in the minority have been discussing this and wondering what action has been taken, and we read press reports. Has there been an agreement reached or through negotiations with the presiding officer of the other body and the third floor as to going to court to resolve the issue of the budget reserve fund and the BP dollars? What exactly is happening there? Have we entered into a lawsuit? Are we in court? Are we not in court? Could you please inform the body of that?
We have not taken any action. There is, I think, agreement in principle that we should seek counsel and try to get as rapid as possible a resolution of that question. It seems that question overshadows other considerations dealing with the same money, and because it's such a large piece of any budget puzzle, it needs to get an answer. I have talked to one attorney, the presiding officer. The other body has a staff attorney that came up with an opinion. I've spoken with the Attorney General on several occasions as to whether we could use a provision in the court rules to try and get a direct Supreme Court interpretation. That is a question that is at least difficult, but that's one that is an option. The other is if, in fact, we did file at least a non-antagonistic lawsuit in Superior Court, how fast could it be heard, and whether it would be accepted by the administration to be just judged essentially on the law rather than dispute over the facts or the information available. All of that is going on, and there is no conclusion. There has been no money spent. There has been no action taken. But there is, I think, agreement, at least in principle, amongst the two presiding officers that we need an answer to be able to proceed with that major piece of the budgetary consideration.
Piece of budgetary consideration. I was just asking a question so we could be fully informed. I hope that you will see fit to inform all members of this body if an agreement is reached, if there is going to be a lawsuit brought, who the legal counsel is going to be, cost, et cetera. We'd like to be fully informed.
Yeah, as I told you when we were considering that initially and what was going on, and I will certainly do that because it's not something that I think should be just taken up by the presiding officer without the direction and the support of the body as a whole. Further unfinished business? Senator Salo.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would like to move and ask unanimous consent that I be excused from the call of the Senate from morning plain time Friday, March 26th, through the evening plain time March 28th on state business.
Without objection, Senator Salo will be excused as requested on state business. Senator Duncan.
Mr. President, I don't even know when this date is, but I've been asked by some folks to ask you if you would give us the schedule for Easter weekend. Have you thought about that? What's going to happen?
There is debate as to whether we should take the Friday off and come back at 1 o'clock on the Monday. That is kind of the traditional way it's been handled. But there are some who are concerned with keeping going through that weekend and not taking that much time off. There hasn't been a decision as yet. And as soon as there is, I will certainly let you know.
What is that weekend?
It's, I think, the 9th, or it's the weekend around the 9th of
The 9th and 11th of April. Okay, only because certain, you know, depending on what you want to do, I think we're as anxious to work as you are, but if you're going to have a longer weekend, folks want to make arrangements for.
Yeah, I understand that, and I agree with that. And as soon as we get a final decision, we'll let you know. I would just say that the tradition has taken Friday off and come back in at 2 o'clock on Monday. But that's not necessarily what we'll be doing. Under announcements, Senator Lehman.
Mr. President, the Select Committee on Oil and Gas will be meeting tomorrow at 5 o'clock in the Butchovich Room instead of Thursday at 5 o'clock to hear Senate Bill 134. I just want to note that change.
Senator Pierce.
Prince. Senate Finance will meet at 8:30 tomorrow morning. The schedule is posted. Secondly, the Joint House and Senate Finance Committees will be meeting this Saturday, March 20th, from 10 a.m. to noon in the Senate Finance Committee room to hear a teleconferenced report from Cambridge Energy Institute.
Further announcements? Senator Jackal. Without objection, Senate will stand at ease. Will the Senate please come back to order? We're under announcements. Senator Kelly?
On 30 in the Farron Camp room, we'll meet at 1:45 today in the Farron Camp room, so we have 15 minutes.
Thank you, Senator Kelly. Senator Sharp?
Thank you, Mr. President. Today, the Senate Transportation Committee will meet at 3:30 in the Belch room. The two bills under consideration will be Senate Bill 135, Alaska Railroad Extension Study, and SB 1680 bonds, Anchorage Seafood Facility.
Senator Kelly.
Mr. President, at 1:45 instead of 1:30.
Thank you, Senator. Further announcements? That brings us to special orders. Senator Ellis.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd request, or move and ask unanimous consent that I be granted special privilege of the floor to discuss murder on the Iditarod Trail.
Senator Ellis.
Thank you, Mr. President. I knew I'd get everyone's attention with that title. It's not a diatribe from People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. It's just an announcement that a good friend of mine, who's an author, Sue Henry, has just come out with a paperback version of her novel, Murder on the Iditarod Trail. It's available in local bookstores, and if you haven't picked it up, it's very timely to do so with the race going on. It's the winner of the Anthony Award for Best First Mystery and winner of the McCavity Award for Best First Mystery. So, and in fact, this body has honored Miss Henry for her achievements through a citation. It's a great story, and I hope you all will pick it up. I'm attempting to have Miss Henry come to Juneau and possibly host a reception for her, and hope you'll pick it up. It's a great thriller for this time of year.
Senator Duncan.
Thank you, Mr. President. May I have the privilege of the floor to speak on committee assignments?
Without objection, Senator Duncan has the privilege of the floor on the special orders to speak on committee assignments.
Thank you, Mr. President. I just wanted to make a brief comment today on committee assignments, and then we'll make a further one, I guess, tomorrow or the next day if you bring a committee on committee report back before this body. You know, I find it very interesting, Mr. President, that at least certain members of your majority believe that it's necessary to continue to, if we on this floor should mention that rules were violated on day one of this legislative session, Rule 1E, and I don't think there's any disagreement on that, it was violated, that if we mention that, then the way to really straighten that out is to heap more punishment upon the minority. Mr. President, I don't understand that reasoning and that rationale or that thinking. Don't understand it at all. Quite honestly, if it hurts that much to hear that you violated the rules, then straighten out the problem. You know, we in the minority did not start this difficulty or start this problem. We came into this legislative session knowing that we had 9, you had 11, and we're very, very willing to work together with you in a very positive manner to try to move forward on some major public policy issues. It was only after we saw the first committee on committee report, when it was obvious that we were going to get one member on a 7-member committee, which clearly violates the rules. And of course, when minority members didn't even get their first selection of where they wanted to serve, that we became concerned. And we're going to continue to stand on that principle that rules were violated, have been violated, and should be followed. It appears, just forecasting what's going to happen, that based on the fact that we made those statements on this floor, pointed out very clearly again, your majority's ignoring of the rules, breaking of the rules, blatantly disregarding them, that certain senators believe that the way to stop that is to go back and amend a committee on committee report, heap more punishment on the minority. That doesn't work, because quite honestly, you're going to hear that speech in more detail when that committee on committee report comes back. And you're going to hear that same speech day after day, time after time, when the subject comes before, that the majority has violated the uniform rules, that the way they want to operate this legislature is to operate it so it best suits them and does not follow proper procedures or follow the uniform rules that we've adopted to follow in this body. Mr. President, the way to lower the rhetoric, the way to build a good, close working relationship between majority and minority is to recognize that we all have equal rights on this floor, that there are rules to follow, and be sure that you take corrective action to do that.
Further special orders? Senator Taylor?
Move and ask unanimous consent. The Senate stand in adjournment until 11 a.m. Thursday, March 17.
Without objection, we're adjourned until 11 a.m. Thursday.